Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. In this episode, we're going to start taking a look at some of the workshops that are coming up for PDC 09. Joining me in today's episode is Chris Odd from Intergen.
Good morning.
Now, what exactly is your company?
So we're a gold partner based out of sunny New Zealand, about 200 or so staff, and we cover the breadth of the Microsoft platform. So we are everything Microsoft and only Microsoft. You know, to a degree, we're that in the Microsoft camp.
All right. Love to see that. I love to see that. Yes.
So obviously everything from sort of the Dynamics products through to core deep dive .NET through to things like SharePoint, some of the collaboration platforms, unified communications and so forth.
And then some of the things that your company does for your customers and stuff?
So sort of lots of Microsoft application integration, and we do quite a bit of consulting around the ISV space as well. So helping other software companies come up to speed with what does the Microsoft platform mean for them and how can they leverage the Microsoft platform, both, you know, sort of deep stuff, .NET and so forth, but also products, you know, SharePoint. If I'm an ISV, do I need to ship a bunch of SharePoint web parts as part of my ISV offering?
And then for the PDC coming up, what we have is normally, you know, the days of sessions going on, but we're doing like the day before the conference having these special workshops.
Yeah.
And you're going to be doing a workshop that day?
So we're doing a workshop on Windows Azure. And really, the sort of the working title that I wanted to work to was, you know, what do we talk about with Azure when we think about going beyond sort of standard demoware? What does it actually mean to build an Azure application that works at monstrous scale? You know, what does it mean to build an Azure application that actually ties together with a bunch of on-premise resources?
I mean, it's one thing to do hello world with Azure where you're simply pinging the server and having it ping back at you, but doing something that's still, okay, what is the power of this?
Exactly. What, you know, what does hello world look like when we want to have 1,000 instances running hello world?
Now, and why do you find Azure exciting?
The things which really get me buzzing about Azure, and I sort of call it the sort of the cloud value in one simple slide, is what I call elasticity. So the cloud really delivers phenomenal value, and in fact, it's really the only possible solution when we start thinking about highly elastic workloads. You know, what do things look like when you've got an application that runs, you know, most of the year on 10 servers, but then three or four mornings that year you need 1,000 servers? You just can't do that any other way than by working with someone who has the sort of scale, the data center scale of a cloud provider like Microsoft.
And so you think that's like a key point for many sites, not all sites can use like that, but many sites could use that capability.
Many sites, and so they have varieties of elasticity, right? So some have sort of daily periodicity, where they have busy peaks during the day, but it's very quiet overnight, right? Some have quite predictable periodicity. So, yep, it's busy during the day, it's quiet at night. It's busy at the end of the month, but it's quiet for the rest of the month. Some have, you know, totally random spikes in demand. You know, if you get a dig attack or you get slash dotted, right, then that sort of is just an irregular spike. How do we build our application so that we can hopefully withstand that sort of, you know, what would otherwise be termed a denial of service attack? Because it really is. So how do we deal with those sorts of things? And then we have, obviously, customers who have sort of predictable periodicity. You know, there's going to be a sales period. We're going to go on special for a particular product, and we know that we're going to get sort of a peak in load over that period. How do we deal with that?
And there's actually, you know, two sides in how to deal with that properly. One is, you know, can your server infrastructure deal with the high traffic you're going to get?
Absolutely.
But then there's also, is the application you're writing, is it built to understand the traffic as well?
Exactly.
And built in, you know, a compact fashion that can handle it?
Well, is it built to be able to understand the idea that we can turn on and off capacity as and when required? Right? And we've been doing that sort of stuff for a while. Right? So we have been building these sort of high-scale, scale-out web application architectures for some time. I know I was building them back in the days of classic ASP. In VBScript. So we've been doing it a while, and really what Windows Azure is about in some ways is packaging some of that approach to application architecture and really making it a whole lot easier for us. Right, so making it so that rather than having to run our own sort of infrastructure and our own infrastructure team to do this elastic scale up and scale back, it's as simple as an API call or a change in a configuration setting in the portal.
So what exactly are the key features your session is going to be talking about?
So I haven't locked down the content yet, and when you're dealing with something that is...
So it's still squishy.
Well, it's really new, right? And I don't want to lock down the content until we've got as much out the door that I can talk about as possible. But so what I've done is I've sort of put it into three broad buckets, and these are non-technological buckets. So I sort of bucket it up into what I talk about as performance. How do we make sure the thing is as efficient with resources as possible? Then I talk about scale and elasticity, and kind of often those two play against each other, right? So when we think about, often you trade off raw performance in order to get scale. For example, you might choose to make more calls across the network to, say, a distributed caching mechanism, and that's going to take longer, but it's going to improve the scalability of your application. Mm-hmm. So scalability is all about saying, I throw more resources at it, and the number of users or the amount of workload I can handle increases in a fairly linear fashion.
And then in a predictable fashion.
Well, in a predictable fashion, yeah. Right? So that you know, I know how much additional capacity I need to add to handle additional load. Because for a lot of applications these days, the cost at the margin is really important. Right? It's the cost to add an incremental user. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you think about a scenario where you've got your own infrastructure, at some point you're going to hit a threshold where you go from, yes, my 16-way database server worked okay, to, oh, now I need a 64-way database server. And that's a really expensive threshold to cross. The marginal cost per user sort of spikes through the roof. So it's another key sort of point that excites me about the cloud. So I bucket into performance, the raw performance. I bucket into scale and elasticity. And then I bucket it into what I call deployment, security, and sort of management. You know, how do we manage this in the most effective and efficient way?
I mean, because that's kind of important, because like using Azure, you're basically relying upon a server infrastructure that is not within your confines.
Exactly. So you have a much more limited degree of control than you might be used to. You know, you can't just RDP into the thing and play with the server. And mm-hmm. and that's good for a bunch of reasons, because you don't need to just RDP into the box and patch it and so forth. Mm-hmm. Right. So how do we sort of understand what patching means? How do we understand what the differences between the Windows Azure team patching our boxes for us or patching our instances for us versus patching our own application. So I mean, some of the topics that we're sort of thinking of covering are things around caching. Right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, caching is probably the easiest way to add performance and scale to your application.
But it's also the easiest way to kind of mess yourself up if the caching gets in your way. I mean, many times I've had problems where I wasn't really wanting caching, and it's caching, and I'm getting data that I wasn't expecting to get.
Well, again, it's planning to cache, yeah. Right? So you need to know, you know, where do you get caching for free, and where do you need to implement caching specifically yourself? We're going to talk about things like asynchronicity, right? So obviously, one of the things we want to try and do with the cloud is try and treat more of our workloads in an asynchronous fashion. So how do we do that? By pushing work through queues. A good example that I give for needing asynchronous dispatch is when you wire up your Windows Azure application to, say, an on-premise resource. Say you want to wire up a high-scale web portal to your on-premise ERP system. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, how would you do that? Right? So, that's simple. We just expose some web services out the firewall, and we'll wire up Windows Azure to the ERP system to the web services.
And suddenly you're getting thousands of calls from the web service to your local.
Well, we've got infinite scale in the cloud.
Yeah, but not infinite scale locally, though.
But we haven't got infinite scale locally.
Yeah.
So we just wind up the scale in the cloud, and we slash dot our on-premise systems, right. Tear down our internal ERP system.
Smoke out the back.
Make certain people are very, very unhappy within our organization. So how do we make sure that we do that in a controlled fashion? We're going to need to talk about item potency. Mm-hmm. And it's always my sort of my special question when I'm running around doing Azure training around the world, is who knows what item potency means?
I don't know. What does it mean?
So it means that an operation can be repeated again and again and again with exactly the same result. Right? And the reason that's important is when we start thinking about queue-based dispatch, we need to have ways of doing lightweight transactional types of operations. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand what it means if our message is pulled off the queue more than once. Mm-hmm. Performs that operation more than once? How do we make sure that for sensitive types of data, you know, debiting your bank balance, right? You only want to do it once. Right?
Now, depositing your bank balance, you don't care whether that's a few more times.
You might be happy to do that happy to do that more times, right? So obviously that's going to be important. We're obviously going to talk about some of the different approaches to working with things like data in the Azure Services platform. So we have obviously Azure Storage, queues, tables, blobs. We have SQL Data Services. Sorry, SQL Azure. are we able to? We're probably not able to chop that out. Names have changed, right? So this is a ever-evolving technology platform. So one of the key things that we need to think about with this is, what sort of things do people see on their own radar? I mean, one thing I'd love to see is if we throw into the comments for this video, some of the things that people would love to see.
So since you are still in a squishy stage, you're saying that the audience can now participate and
Absolutely.
Let you know what they want to hear.
The
about
audience Europe. Can participate. What do they want to see here?
Yeah.
What are the hot button issues for them? I've got some hot button issues that I'm seeing with the Azure development that we're doing. But we're only building sort of a subset of applications, of the applications in the universe of applications that can be built on Windows Azure.
Right. Plus, I mean, you mentioned ahead of time that you're very much focused on just the Microsoft stack of technologies.
Yeah.
There's probably people in the audience that are doing the whole range
Absolutely.
Of different technologies.
Absolutely.
And they might want to know, how does Azure fit into this non-Microsoft world?
Exactly, because it does, right? So, Microsoft, I've been around the Microsoft traps for some time. The new Microsoft is a really open organization. So we see the ability to do things like run CGI and PHP mm-hmm. applications on top of the Windows Azure platform and take advantage of all of the infrastructure and so forth that drives the platform. So I'd love to hear about sort of projects that people might be working on where they've got some questions. I'd like to see some mm-hmm. content around some of those sort of non-Microsoft type technologies.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. I mean, it sounds like you've got a great workshop all set up there with a lot of really good information about Windows Azure, since I know a lot of people have questions about it, and it's made pretty exciting.
Yeah, again, I'm buzzed about it, right?
Yeah,
there are some really exciting scenarios that we can solve with Windows Azure that we can't solve any other way. There are some scenarios where we've done it one way for a long time, where we can achieve significant cost savings by working with a cloud-type mm-hmm. platform. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty buzzed. It is still early days, right? And PDC's sort of 12 months on from when the covers were first whipped off this. So it's going to be interesting to see some of the things that people have been working on.
Yep.
And for those who can share that, I'd love to hear from it, either in the comments or privately to me, chris.auld@intergen.co.nz.
Okay, and I'll make sure I put that email address in the
Fantastic.
Comments as well. So
great.
That. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that brief little insight into Chris's workshop that he'll be doing at PDC 09 this year, all about Windows Azure.